Teachers, let's be honest. Sometimes if we want to crush it for kids, we got to do some really weird shit. And that might mean that we are wearing a visor with 100-year-old hair. We are getting out our PBS t-shirt with our slicky suit. We are strapping a fanny pack around our waist, and that fanny pack is equipped with a Ziploc bag of old man candies, the strawberry filled jelly candies, the Werther's original, the butterscotches. We are absolutely ridiculous sometimes, and that's a good thing. Kids notice that. And that's why I say it's an opportunity to crush it for kids. Was it a dress up day in my school? Yes, it was. Did I go all out? Yes, I did. Was I a little self-conscious as I rolled through the gas station this morning wearing ridiculous spirit wear? Absolutely, yes. But that's exactly what I want to tackle in today's episode. I'm going to talk about how we can actually crush it for kids, because guess what? Crush It is an acronym, and we as educators love acronyms. Crush It is actually the five pillars of how we can powerfully impact education, and we are going to unpack all five of those pillars, what do they mean, and actually give relevant examples of what that looks like, sounds like, and feels like in the context of our classroom right now. If you are needing a motivation boost for this time of the year so that you can actually end this school year on a good note, you're in the right place. Let's get into it. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. Teachers, let's just be honest for a second. At this point in the school year, we are feeling all of the feelings. We are feeling stressed. We are struggling. We are saying things like, I just need to make it to summer. And I need you to know, if you are feeling those things right now, you are not alone. It feels like you are being crushed by the weight of everything that has happened so far this year. But at the end of the day, we also have this passion and this perseverance to actually crush it for kids. And that's what I want to talk about. Five ways that we can actually crush it for kids and end this year on a good note. And I'm just going to spell them out for you right now. We need to celebrate education. We need to build relationships. We need to utilize our uniqueness. We need to share our struggles and share our stories and share our successes. And the H is we need to hold on. Did you see what just happened there, friends? That's celebrate, relationships, utilize, share, and hold. And when you smash those things together, do you know what it spells? Crush. We can choose to be crushed by all of the changes that have happened in education, especially over the last few years, or we can crush it for kids and continue to crush it in our career. And I think that we should choose the second option. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that there are not inequities. I'm not saying that we get paid the salary that we should to crush it for kids. But what I am saying is that we can utilize the crush it concept in order to end this year on a good note. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to take a ton of time. It doesn't have to take a ton of energy. So let's unpack what it actually means to crush it for kids using context and real life examples. Let's start with a C. When we celebrate education, when we celebrate students, when we celebrate success, it makes a really big difference. Let me give you an example of that. At the time of this recording, we had this like really huge unexpected snowstorm that caused us to kind of spiral because it changed all of our plans. And I know that some schools have decided to do traditional snow days and some schools have decided to do e-learning, and that's controversial in and of itself. If your school is doing traditional snow days, I would guess that you want e-learning. And if your school is doing e-learning, I would guess that you want traditional snow days. The drama, right? But here's what I will say. We are now in the spring, okay? And we can celebrate the fact that summer is coming. So let me give you an example of something that was literally so simple to celebrate when we came back from this unexpected snowpocalypse, okay? Is that we celebrated students and celebrated structure. Here's what I mean. Do you know how easy it is to have your entire lesson plans or your entire curriculum map or your entire calendar just get rocked by an unexpected schedule? And how easy it is to be like, we just need a day to kind of regroup. We just need a day. And I get that. Like, I do. I understand taking the day. But one of the things that I was tempted to do was to say, let's just push back that celebration. Because at the end of every single month, we have a celebration for our students based off of the character words and the positive behavior referral system at our school. That's right, everybody. We have a positive referral system at our school. Positive office referrals and also negative office referrals. There should be a balance. And so what I was tempted to do when the structure of our schedule got absolutely rocked was say, okay, let's just push the party back. Let's adjust. We just are going to put that party into next month's schedule. The problem with that is there's a predictability to these parties. And if I had pushed that celebration back, we had 9 students who would have been disappointed. Now, you might be thinking, 9 students, that's not very many students. 9, it's going to be fine. But I think sometimes we need to focus more on names than we do on numbers. And the reality is, those 9 kids, those 9 humans would have been absolutely devastated if we said, you know what, we're just going to combine this party with next month's party. They wouldn't have gotten their time to shine. They wouldn't have gotten their celebratory moment. So in order to celebrate education, sometimes we have to celebrate structure. We have to celebrate students in a predictable, but also passionate way. So we hosted the dang party. Even though the schedule had gotten rocked, even though we didn't have quite the exact timeline that we needed to collect the data, we said, no, this is really important for kids. We crushed it by celebrating students and by celebrating structure when we came back from the snowpocalypse. Here's another simple example for R, which is relationships. One of my favorite things to do to connect with kids and build relationships is to absolutely throw a party when they get a haircut. If you get your hair cut, colored, dyed, styled differently, get lines cut into your hair, I am going to notice and I'm going to celebrate the shit out of that. I am. Pardon my language, but I'm just being real. I don't tell students I'm going to celebrate the shit out of their haircut, but I do. I'm telling you that. if a student is walking down the hallways and I have noticed that they've gotten a haircut, I will literally stop and be like, hold on. Time out. Did you get a new haircut? I'm obsessed. I love it. Like, look at you walking down this hallway acting as if it's a runway. You better work, okay? It's like a full glam moment. It's a full Hollywood moment. Why? Because that is the easiest relationship building opportunity. Kids can get extremely self-conscious about a haircut. So why not hype them up? Why not build them up? A lot of kids might not notice that their friend or their classmate got their hair cut, and they want somebody to notice. So if you can build a simple, strategic, incredibly free and easy relationship by just calling out those haircuts, get down. Get down and make it happen. I actually, just today, had a conversation with a student, and they pre-told me that they were going to be getting a haircut, a hair color, and a new hairstyle. And she said, I'm very nervous about it. I'm excited about it, but I'm very nervous about it. I want it to go very well. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to hype up that hairdo so hard. If the color isn't quite right, preach. It's happened to me before. I box dyed my hair in college because I felt like, who can afford a real hair dye in college? Ain't nobody can afford a hair dye when you are in undergrad or grad school. Hell, still can barely afford a hair color as an adult teacher. But what I'm trying to say here is I have had a bad hair experiment. It felt like a hair emergency because my college roommate said, I know how to dye hair. I said, you do? And I trusted her. Okay. And my hair turned orange. And when I say orange, I need you to know, like, orange, like Oompa Loompa orange hair, like Bozo the Clown hair. And that was pitiful. And I still have some trauma to unpack from that. But when that student walks through the school with that new hair dye, I am going to be like, oh, yes, I love it. I love it. And here's why. Even if it's not what the student expects or what I expect, doesn't really matter. What matters is that moment to connect with a kid. What matters is an opportunity to build or restore a relationship by just recognizing and hyping that student. Then obviously also reading their body language. If this is embarrassing them, then you can like immediately de-escalate and be like, no, but seriously, just between you and me, love the hair. But if the kid is starting to smile, you hype that up. You maybe even get out your hype button. I have a hype button. You never know when you're gonna need it. And you're just like, yes, look at that hair. That's how we crush it for kids with relationships. Let's move on to the U in Crush It, which is utilize. Utilize your uniqueness. Friends, I understand that I've already given you multiple examples of how I'm utilizing my uniqueness. I am currently in spirit attire simply because there was a spirit day today. And I said, you know what? I'm recording this podcast as is. That's what's happening. I utilize my uniqueness by getting out my hype button at all times. I absolutely embrace the moments that feel authentic to me, that help other students feel authentic and be recognized. I'm quirky as hell, but that's just who I am. It's not a show. It's not an act. It's not inauthentic. It's literally who I am as a human. So I want to utilize that. Am I the teacher who is going to organize things into beautiful file folders so that our sixth grade orientation goes flawlessly because of the beautifully organized, helpful packets that we're going to give to the families of sixth graders? Not my lane. Okay? Am I going to be the teacher who has the knack for aligning the ELA curriculum. And so it's really, really effective in social studies class and in science class. No, because ELA curriculum alignment is not my jam, okay? But if somebody says, Monica, we're going to host a family night and we have no ideas, what is going to get students hyped and families hyped to walk into the building? And I'm like, we're essentially going to throw a rave is what we're going to do. Like, that's where I really start to bring my uniqueness. I utilize my uniqueness. And I don't think that that is something that we magnify enough in schools. I think we are very, 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 very good at comparing ourselves. Teachers, let me say that again. Can we make a pact that we are going to start utilizing our uniqueness instead of comparing ourselves to the teacher down the hall or across the corridor or in the opposite rotunda? All right? I want you to utilize your uniqueness, your quirkiness, your organization, your talents. You do you, boo. And when we all do that in a school together, fireworks start going off. You know why? Because everyone is bringing their passion and their purpose and their positivity to the table. And that is what causes schools to really, really step up and amplify the good things. We don't all need to bring intense energy. We don't all need to bring our data-driven decisions. We don't all need to be the person who's got literally a homemade label maker in their pocket ready to make your teacher's lounge look like a functional space. Those are all beautiful things. But when each of those people in your building is bringing that to the table, my God, it makes an impact. That brings us to the S, which is sharing. Sharing our struggles, sharing our stories, sharing our successes, but doing so in an effective way. I think social media has become one of the most powerful tools that we have and been completely transformed to being one of the most negative spaces for teachers and for learning communities. I don't think it has to stay that way, but we have equated, I need to share this out to, I need to post this on social media. So when I say sharing, I mean with a trusted friend, with a trusted teacher. If you are struggling, we don't need to do that necessarily in a public forum. We need to do that in a safe space. When we're sharing our story about something that happened, again, we don't have to give every single nitty-gritty detail, but we can give the heart of what actually happened. When we share our successes, it doesn't have to feel like we're flexing. It doesn't have to feel like we're bragging. Because when we have trust and we've shared our struggles appropriately and shared our stories appropriately, when we share our successes, you know you have good relationships with staff and students when they're not like, oh God, here she goes again. No, they're like, hell yeah. Let me give you an example. I don't know if you saw this trend on the social media a few months back, but everybody was doing like a celebration cake. And so they were putting like little like toothpick flags in a cake and all their friends were like clapping for each other. I saw this on social media and I said to some teachers at our school, hey, do you want to do a celebration sourdough? Do you know why we did a celebration sourdough? Is because I wanted to utilize the uniqueness of one of the teachers in that hallway, and she makes bomb sourdough, okay? It's gut healthy. And she made some sourdough, and I said, let's do a celebration sourdough instead of a celebration cake. And so she brought the sourdough. Another teacher said, I got the Kerrygold butter. I said, you know what? I don't bake and I don't like butter, but I can make some little toothpick flags for the sourdough. And we literally sat, it took like 5 minutes, and we hyped each other up as we shared successes from the first half of the school year. And we had a little celebration sourdough, and it was so lovely. And it was a lot of clapping. So we were celebrating. It was sharing our stories and sharing our struggles. But most importantly, we were sharing this moment. So simple. So freaking cool. And that brings us to the H, which is hold. Hold can mean so many things. Hold could be hold on. Hold could be hold up. Hold could be hold hands. But most importantly, I think we have to actually hold on to our belief that we are making an impact. Teachers, when we crush it for kids, when we utilize those 5 pillars of being exceptional in education, when we are celebrating education, when we are building relationships, when we are utilizing our unique interests, skills, and strengths, when we are sharing our stories and our struggles, and when we are holding on and holding the profession in the palm of our hand, saying like, we're doing such a good job, even though we're tired, even though we're struggling, even though we might be spiraling, that is when some really cool things happen. And here's what I want to say. During the month of April, I am leading a 21-day fun, flexible, virtual course called Crushing It for Kids. Teachers, if you are needing ideas to end this year on a good note, the Crushing It for Kids course is for you. Again, 21 days worth of ideas, strategies, solutions, and the motivation that we need to end the year on a good note. Ideas about celebrating education, building relationships, utilizing your new unique interests, skills, and strengths, sharing your successes and your stories and your struggles, and holding on tight so that when that final bell rings of this school year, we feel so incredibly confident that we have crushed it for kids. This 21-day course also gives you access to up to 15 hours worth of official PD credits just based off of your participation. I am confident that if you are needing that thing to end this year on a good note, because right now you may be struggling personally or professionally, the Crushing It for Kids course during the month of April is for you. You can check it out at monicagenta.com/courses. That's Monica, GENTA.com/courses. I would love for you to end this school year on a good note with me and get so many ideas just like the ones that we have shared here. I'm going to put a direct link for that in the show notes, or you can go to monicagenta.com/courses to get signed up. I would love to have you, and I would love to crush it for kids with you during the entire month. Friends, I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. I hope that it's given you just the perspective and the energy and the motivation that you need right here, right now. As a reminder, new episodes of the podcast drop every single Sunday night, so you are ready for your Monday morning commute. I want to thank you for listening to this episode, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.